نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم. Generally, when a program of this nature is held to discuss wuzu, istinja, usal, then the general tendency is people feel these are simple matters. These are normal things and we all know it. But really speaking, there's so much hidden of the goodness of Islam in these actions that the importance can never be overemphasized. Today, inshallah, we'll just touch on certain important aspects for us to gain a basic understanding of this department of deen and to see how much of it is in our lives. When we speak about salah, we all understand the importance of salah. That Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, Miftahul Jannah as-salah. The key to Jannah is salah. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't stop there. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went further to mention, Wa miftahul salah at-tuhur. And the key to salah is purification. In some ahadith, Wa miftahul salah al-wuzu. And the key to salah is wuzu. So in other words, if a person wants to enter Jannah, he needs the key of salah, and he won't be able to acquire the key of salah till he has the key of wuzu. We say, he won't be able to enter Jannah, he has the key, that is salah. And to get that salah, he needs the key. What is the key to salah? The key to salah is wuzu. How important. So this wuzu plays a very, very important role in our deen. That in one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu was the close attendant and special servant of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who remained with the master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam night and day in his service. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took him like his own son. So much of love, so much of shafqat, so much of kindness the Nabi of Allah showed him, that perhaps no father can show a son that amount of kindness. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam once addressed Anas radiallahu ta'ala and told, O Anas, if you are able to remain in the state of wuzu all the time, then remain in the state of wuzu. For if you pass away in the state of wuzu, you'll pass away as a shaheed. And we all want the martaba of shahadat. And we're not anywhere close to the battlefield. But if a person brings this special quality in his life, a special sunnah of Rasulullah sallam, then Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will bless him with the rank of martyrdom if he passes away in the state of wuzu. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is traveling during the occasion of Hajj. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is remaining in the state of wuzu all the time. Until it is mentioned in the narration of Bukhari Sharif, that when the Nabi of Allah had to leave Arafah coming to Muzdalifah, so on the way, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was seated on the conveyance. Behind the Nabi of Allah was Usama bin Zayd radiallahu ta'ala. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam needed to pass water. He needed to relieve himself. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam moved on the side. And then he passed water. He passed urine where he could not be seen. And after he completed, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made wuzu immediately. Immediately the Nabi of Allah made wuzu. And because the water that they had at that time was the water of Zamzam, so Hazrat Usama radiallahu ta'ala poured the water for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Nabi of Allah made a very concise wuzu. The muhaddithin, commentators of hadith, don't mention the reason for this. But what comes to mind is perhaps the water they had at that time was only Zamzam water. And a person in the state of hadath shouldn't use Zamzam water for wuzu. But the Nabi of Allah is an exception. Of course, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, everything of the Nabi of Allah is pure. So Rasulullah sallam is an exception. It won't be makruh for the Rasul of Allah to use it. But to teach the ummah, because in Zamzam, the Nabi of Allah just made a very basic, a concise wuzu. And when they reached Muzdalifah, Nabi sallam repeated the wuzu. He made a complete wuzu. But the point to highlight here is Rasulullah sallam, till that point, he didn't want to stay without wuzu. He wanted to remain in wuzu. For the great amount of virtues that Allah Pak had put in wuzu, Rasulullah sallam, he practiced on this to teach the ummah that we need to stay in the state of wuzu all the time. Then Rasulullah sallam mentioned in hadith, At-tuhur shatrul iman. remaining in the state of purity, in the state of wuzu, is half of iman. Ulama say, what this means is that to emphasize the importance of this action, that if you want to benefit from all the amal of deen, you have to be in the state of wuzu. For these many, many actions of deen, you cannot do without wuzu. If a person wants to enter the masjid, so it's mustahab to enter in the state of wuzu. If he needs the farz, ghusl, he can't enter the masjid at all. If he wants to touch the Quran, he must be in the state of wuzu. If he's in janabat, he can't touch it. If he doesn't have wuzu also, he can't touch it. If he wants to enter into salah, he can't perform salah. At the time of tawaf also, the Nabi of Allah also had taught the ummah, is that you need to be in the state of wuzu. If a person is not in the state of wuzu and he does the tawaf, tawaf of umrah, tawaf hajj, he has to give dam. So this aspect of purity is so important in our deen that Rasulullah ﷺ referred to it as half of iman. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had taught the ummah the importance of remaining in the state of wuzu is so important that one will be protected from shaitan and the evil influence of shaitan. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once told the sahaba, Allah adullukum ala ma yamhul bihil khataya. Shouldn't I show you an action which will rub out and wipe out all your sins? And it will earn you a high status by Allah. Sahaba say, O Nabi of Allah, tell us. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, Isbaghul wuzu ala al-makari. To make a complete wuzu, a perfect wuzu, despite it being hard and difficult. Let's say, for example, it's very cold, and you're feeling difficult to make wuzu. So you know you can't perform salah without wuzu, so you just hit it. A quick wuzu you'll make. You don't wash out the limbs properly. You don't fulfill all the sunnat and adab of the wuzu. So this is not in keeping to the way of Islam, the sunnah of Rasulullah. So the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, Isbaghul wuzu alal mak. Despite it being difficult, you still make a perfect wuzu. وَكَسْرَةُ الْخُطَاءِ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ. And then you walk to the masjid. And وَإِنْتِزَارُ salah بَعْدَ salah. After one salah, you wait for the next salah. Some ulama mentioned wait in the masjid. Some say that, no, even if you go out of the masjid, but you're waiting for the next salah. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned that the one who has these three actions, a perfect complete wuzu, walks to the masjid, and his heart is attached to the masjid, is waiting for salah to come back to the masjid, to answer the call of Allah. فَذَلِكُمُ الرِّبَاطِ فَذَلِكُمُ الرِّبَاطِ فَذَلِكُمُ الرِّبَاطِ. Some ulama say that through these actions, Allah will grant this man the reward as though he is protecting the Islamic frontiers and borders. You know what a great reward this is? Those who are in the protection and security of the Islamic frontiers and borders, then Allah Pak grants them such a high martaba, rank, great reward. If they pass away in this condition, then Allah Pak will write it as though they are still alive till the day of Qiyamah. As though they're doing that action and they're getting rewards. A normal mujahid who dies in the battlefield compared to a murabit who is now protecting the Islamic frontiers, that 1,000 days of the normal mujahid is one day of the murabit. So some ulama say if you do these three actions, Allah Pak will give you that martaba. And other ulama say, you know what this means, that you get the reward of like protecting the Islamic frontiers. It means that you will protect yourself against shaitan, his influences and the nafs. You stay in wuzu, shaitan won't be able to infiltrate. He won't be able to attack you. He won't be able to pollute your heart and mind to commit sins. So respected friends, these are the virtues of wuzu that we perhaps maybe heard or maybe we didn't hear. But in order for us to reach Allah, we need to perfect our deen. And you cannot perfect your deen if that wuzu is not perfect and the salah is not perfect. So how important. So inshallah, today we'll speak about the faraiz and the sunan of wuzu, so that we can now improve the quality of our wuzu and the quality of the salah. Among the sunnah acts that Rasulullah taught the sahaba, when a person is about to perform wuzu, he must sit on a raised place facing the qibla. Some ulama have written that these actions are among the mustahab. Some say sunnah must face the qibla and on a raised place. So when you wash your limbs, the water falls down and the water splashes don't come on you. And if a person is in the wuzu khana, he should ensure that the splashes don't come on his brother also. So this all goes towards the perfection of the wuzu, which ultimately impacts on the perfection of the salah. Then the second thing is While the person is sitting, it is better to face the Qibla and make the wuzu, make the intention. When a person makes the intention that I am performing wuzu to perform the salah, and he recites the dua, Bismillah walhamdulillah, I commence in the name of Allah and all praise belongs to Allah. It is recorded in the hadith that as long as this person has wuzu, Allah Pak causes the angels who are around him to protect him to continue writing good deeds for this person till his wuzu breaks. Where a person got time every moment to be in the state of ibadat. But if a person just brings this action in his life, when performing the wuzu, he just says, makes the intention and Bismillah walhamdulillah, is that the angels are writing good deeds all the time. All the time, till that wuzu will break. And if he wants that his good deeds to continue, make wuzu again. So you're in a current balance all the time. Then Rasulullah mentioned that La wuzu liman lam yaskur ismallah. There's no wuzu for that person who doesn't take the name of Allah. So ulama mentioned what this means. Wuzu will take place, but the wuzu won't be perfect if you don't take the name of Allah. So the, if you want the wuzu to be full of nur and perfect, take the name of Allah, as Rasulullah mentioned. And in the narration of Mishkat Sharif, Rasulullah mentioned the one who at the beginning of the wuzu, he takes the name of Allah. Bismillah walhamdulillah, Bismillah ar-Rahman. Then Allah Pak makes it that that wuzu is a purification for the sins he committed through his entire body. The minor sins, of course. Whatever sins he did with his entire body, Allah Pak makes that wuzu is the means that all the minor sins of his entire body will be washed off. But if he doesn't take the name of Allah and he commits the wuzu, then the wuzu will be a purification for only the limbs that he washes. Other parts of the body will not be purified of sins, only the limb, because he forgot to take the name of Allah. All this appears in the Mubarak Hadith of Rasulullah. Then on the day of Qiyamah, a person who is to make pure, complete, perfect wuzu, he'll come on the day of Qiyamah, other ummats will be able to distinguish this ummat from all other ummats. They'll recognize that this is the ummah of Rasulullah. Why? Because the ummah of Rasulullah will come on the day of Qiyamah, that the limbs of wuzu will be shining with nur. This privilege is only for the ummah of Rasulullah, for no other ummah. So person needs to make the intention and Bismillah walhamdulillah, he recites this. Then after he makes the intention, you'll wash your hands till the wrist. Wash your hands till the wrist. After you wash your hands till the wrist, thrice, then you'll put water in the mouth, you gargle the mouth thrice, and you make miswak. When a person makes miswak, he will do it horizontally on his teeth and vertically on the tongue. It's important also to clean the tongue. So the tongue is cleaned very, very well, so no odor comes out from a person's mouth. So when he stands before Allah in salah, some ahadith mention at the time of tahajjud salah, when a person stands up before Allah, he makes wuzu and then he stands, Allah Pak sends an angel. Whatever recitation he does, that angel collects it in the mouth. The angel brings the angel's mouth close, and that recitation goes in the mouth of that angel, and that angel takes it up to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to bank it and to store it for that servant in the akhirat. So you don't want to cause any inconvenience to the angels. Though this is mentioned with regard to tahajjud salah, but other salahs, perhaps maybe Allah ta'ala also can send the angels to protect the reward. So to cause inconvenience to the angels, a person should cleanse his mouth. Sometimes a person, he smokes and then he comes to the masjid, he doesn't clean his mouth. He doesn't cleanse his mouth, so he stands in the saf and then people next to him are inconvenienced. So the reward of that salah now decreases, the reward of everything is decreasing. A person mentioned in the hadith that the one who makes miswak with the wuzu, then Allah Pak makes it such that the salah he'll perform will be 70 times more rewarding and 70 times greater than the salah performed without miswak. Without the miswak in the wuzu. If you want the quality to pick up, then we should be doing this. Just to digress a bit. Because we all value things of dunya, and material things attract the heart and the eye of insan. So a person is buying a car, and when he's buying the car, he'll have different options to look at. Okay, I'm buying the Mercedes, I'm buying a BM. So there's different types of cars. So a person, someone will ask you that, hey, you bought this car, is it full house? or the basic. You say, no, it's full house. You know. The car got these extras, it got this. You know. It's top of the range. You know. This is the best that came out. So a person all the time, he wants to compete with others in dunya, he understands the quality of things. So very little do we apply this to our deen and to the amal that we carry out. That Allah Pak wants to see also the quality. Allah Pak doesn't see increase. Allah Pak wants to see the quality of the action. And Nabi will perform 2 rakat salah. And the Ummati will perform 1,000,000 rakats of salah. But the 2 rakats of the Nabi will outweigh the 1,000,000 rakats of the Ummat. Why? The quality. It's the quality. So a person will first, he'll wash the hands till the wrist, then he'll gargle the mouth, he'll make the miswak, and thereafter, he will put the water in the nose. He will rinse the nose, put water with the right hand, and then he'll clean his nose with the left hand. He'll clean his nose with the left hand. And he will ensure that everything in his nostrils also are cleansed, are clean. Thereafter, a person should wash his face. He'll take the water in his hands, and he will wash his entire face thrice. When washing the entire face thrice, it's very important for one to ensure that the entire face is washed. The face is that from the hairline right till the end of the chin, and from one earlobe right till the other earlobe, and everything in between. So the area around the eyes, sometimes the person got some dirt stuck at the side of his eyes, and he just puts water and he doesn't clean his face thoroughly. So the dirt by his eyes prevent water coming. The wuzu is not done. When the wuzu is not done, the salah performed also won't be valid. Then the area between the earlobes and the sideburns, this area also sometimes person is not particular of washing that. So he should ensure that he washes this also. After washing the face, a person will make khilal of the beard. He'll take water like this and he'll put water in his beard. He'll make khilal of the beard. If a person's beard, he got slight beard and the skin beneath the beard can be seen, then in this case, khilal of the beard is not masnoon. It's not sunnat in this case, because the person with such a small beard, you can see the skin of the face. He has to wash the entire face, ensure that water touches the skin of the face. Khilal for this person is not sunnah. But if a person has got a beard and the skin beneath the beard cannot be seen, then for such a person, khilal is sunnah also. He will, after he washes the face thrice, then he will take water and then he will put it inside the beard. He'll make khilal once, he'll make khilal of the beard. So this is also the sunnah of Rasulullah. After a person washes that face thoroughly, thrice, a person will wash their hands till the elbows. He'll wash the right hand first, thrice, and then he'll wash the left hand thrice. Now this is something very important, is that sometimes you see a person, he washes the hand, but the elbows are left dry. So if elbows are left dry, then the wuzu will be incomplete, because the entire hands, including the elbows, have to be washed. People don't understand this. After washing the hands, now comes the place of khilal. The khilal of the fingers are not after the masa of the head. Khilal of the fingers are after washing the hands till the elbows. You make khilal. You make khilal of the right hand first, and then khilal of the left hand. This is the way to make khilal. Do it like this. So khilal of the beard will take place after washing the face. The khilal of the hands will take place after washing the hands. Now during the wuzu, the dua that a person should make, Allahumma ghfirli dhanbi wa wasi'li fi dari wa barikli fi rizqi. That, oh Allah, forgive my sins. Make my home spacious. And oh Allah, grant me barakah in my rozi, in my sustenance, in my rizq. Now this is something we all need in our lives all the time. We need Allah Pak's forgiveness. Allah must be happy with us. We need our home to be spacious. The home of this world, the home of Qabr, and home of Akhirat. So this dua is so encompassing, it's so complete, that it encompasses everything. And we all need rozi. Allah Pak to grant us there's rozi. Oh Allah, put barakah in the rozi. So this dua can be recited anytime during the wuzu. Some muhaddisin mention after the wuzu also. So if a person didn't make this dua in the wuzu and he remembered after, he must still make it. He should still make this dua after that. After the washing the hands till the elbows thrice, the person will make masa of the head. Now masa of the head is very important to know how, what is the sunnah method of making masa. The sunnah method of making masa is that a person, he takes water, new water, If he takes the leftover water on the hands and he makes the masa also, it will be valid. But in certain hadith, the Nabi of Allah took new water, so a person will take new water. And thereafter, he will make masa of the head like this, completely, the whole hands, he'll complete, he'll masa of the... This is mentioned in the hadith, to pass all the hands from the front of the head right till the back. And in certain hadith, Rasulullah also brought the hands back to the front. So both these methods are mentioned in the Mubarak hadith. So if a person, the wet hands, he can pass it from the front to the back, that's all. He doesn't have to bring it back. And if he brings it back while keeping it on the back of the head, he brings it completely, then this is also established in hadith. These are two different ways of making masa of the head. Making masa of quarter of the head is farz. And making masa of the entire head is sunnat. Allama Shami Rahimullah mentions if a person always makes the habit of only making the farz amount of masa, only quarter of the head, he's not making masa of the remainder of the head. He'll become sinful, he'll become gunegar. Because he's leaving out the sunnat of Rasulullah all the time. Similarly, if a person all the time, whenever he makes wuzu, he's only sufficing on the farz. He washes the face one time, he washes the hands to the elbows one time, making masa quarter of the head, and he washes his feet. He makes this a habit. A person is thinking that, no, I'm making my wuzu. But he's getting sin. Because he is abandoning the sunnah of Rasulullah sallam, he made a habit of. Now and again it happened because there was scarcity of water, there was no water, so a person had to suffice on the farz. To leave water for other people, that's a different thing, you know. On safar maybe, you have a situation. So this is the correct method of making masa of the head. Some people make masa in this way, they take three fingers, you know. And then they pass it, and then the palms, they keep it up, and when they, from the back to the front, then the side of the head, they bring the palms, and then the two fingers, they leave for the ears. So this here is not established in the hadith. If a person made masa in this way, the masa will be valid. However, this is not the sunnah. The sunnah method is, as I mentioned, the two ways that Rasulullah ﷺ taught the ummah. After making masa of the entire head, a person now will take his index finger and thumb, and he'll make masa of the ears. So how? With the index finger, the shahadat finger, he'll make of the inside. And with the thumb, the back of the ears, he'll make masa. Then with the small baby fingers, he'll put the baby fingers in his ears in this way. To ensure that water also goes in the holes of the ear, of both ears. This is how he'll do. And after the masa of the ears, a person will make masa of the nape with the back area of the fingers. This is mustahab. So when a person makes the wuzu, then he'll make the entire wuzu. After the masa of the head, masa of the ears, and after masa of the ears, then masa of the nape with the back portion of his fingers. After he's completed the wuzu in this way, now the thing that is left is to wash the feet. He'll wash the right foot thrice and then followed by the left foot thrice. It's important to understand that when Rasulullah ﷺ made wuzu, then the Nabi of Allah, when he washed his hands, the entire hand, Nabi Sallam commenced the washing of the hands from the fingers going till the elbows. Sometimes you find people, they're washing their hands, but they start from the elbows going down. This is against the sunnah. This is not in keeping to the way of Rasulullah in the Mubarak tariqah, the sunnah. Some people, they put their hand under the tap that's running and they wash it like this. It's not right. A person, he should take the water in his hands, and then he should, from the fingers going down to the elbows, he should wash it in this way. Thrice, the right hand, left hand. Similarly, the feet, he should wash the right foot first, from the toes going to the ankles, including the ankles. And then the left foot. Thereafter, a person will make khilal of the toes. The khilal of the toes will be with the baby finger of the left hand. He'll commence with the baby toe of the right foot, and he'll end on the baby toe of the left foot. He'll, in this sequence. Now the wuzu is complete. When the wuzu is complete, a person should recite the masnoon dua that Rasulullah ﷺ recited after the wuzu. What was the dua? Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Allahumma ja'alni min at-tawwabin wa ja'alni min al-mutatahirin. That I testify that there is no deity besides Allah who is alone and has no partner, and I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a servant and messenger. O Allah, include me from amongst those who repent excessively, and include me amongst those who are extremely pure and extremely clean. Person should recite this dua. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Allahumma ij'alni min at-tawwabin wa ij'alni min al-mutatahhirin. So when a person recites this dua, then Allah Rabbul Izzat makes this 8 doors of Jannah open for him. A person, he hasn't yet performed the salah. He only did the wuzu, Allah Pak becomes so pleased with the servant, Allah Pak causes the 8 doors of Jannah to open for the servant. And then it is mentioned in the hadith, when the servant performs 2 rakats after the wuzu, just 2 rakats after the wuzu, and the 2 rakats he performs in such a way that his heart does not get involved in any other thought besides Allah. He keeps his heart on Allah. This hadith is not mentioning that the 2 rakats should be farz salah. After performing wuzu, if a person performs 2 rakats salah, even nafal, but he ensures he made the perfect wuzu, now that salah, the 2 rakats will be perfect. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that Allah Pak will grant him Jannah. One is the 8 doors of Jannah open, and he performs the 2 rakats in this way, and Jannah is his. It mentioned in the hadith of Muslim Sharif, that in the time of Sahaba, all the Sahaba, they had their businesses also to be concerned about, to worry about, because they needed to earn to bring food home, to sustain themselves, their families. So it was difficult for the Sahaba to be 24/7 next to the Nabi of Allah in the masjid. But the Sahaba weren't like me and you. We are concerned of our dunya most of the time. And little time we find we can avail for deen, we'll say, okay, never mind, okay, I'll do this. But the Sahaba worked, they tried to do that, all, everything for deen. And little time they had, they gave it to dunya. So anyway, the certain Sahaba, as in Umar radiallahu anhu, other Sahaba, they mentioned they had mashram, they said that, okay, we don't want to miss out from the gathering of Rasulullah. The Nabi of Allah is going to be sharing the knowledge of Nubuwwat with the Ummah. And it shouldn't be such that Rasulullah says something and I'm not present. I miss it out. So the arrangement that the Sahaba made among themselves is that they grouped up, they paired up 2 Sahaba. So as Umar radiallahu ta'ala paired up with Uqba bin Amir. This hadith comes in Muslim Sharif. Page 120, 121. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu paired up with Uqba bin Amir. He told Uqba bin Amir, you see, I also have animals that I need to graze. You also got. We have to take our animals to the pastures every day. So what we rather do is, one day I will sit in the majlis of Rasulullah sallam the whole day, and you take my animals and you take your animals to graze. So when you come back with the animals, whatever the Nabi of Allah said in that day, I will make muzakara with you. I will teach you that. And the following day, I'll take all the animals, my animals, your animals, you sit in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you hear everything, and when I return, then you can teach me. This was the arrangements. So there's no day that passes that the dars of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we lose it. We lose out on the dars. So they had this arrangement. So Uqba bin Amir radiallahu anhu says, it was my day to take the animals, I took the animals of Umar radiallahu anhu, my own animal, I went to graze. But it so happened, that day I came back early. When I reached, with all the animals, I came back. So it was still little time. I said, let me go to the masjid. The Nabi of Allah is addressing Sahaba. So I came to the masjid. I saw the Nabi of Allah standing. And the Sahaba was seated. The Nabi of Allah was addressing them. So I came and I sat down. He said, Rasulullah SAW, the first thing that I heard in that majlis, in that sohbat, in that gathering, the Nabi of Allah mentioned that the one who, after performing a perfect wuzu, he performs 2 rakat salah, he doesn't allow his heart and his mind to drift from the salah to think about anything worldly. After performing the salah, Allah will grant him jannat. So this Uqba bin Amir radiallahu ta'ala, and I say, we talking of Sahaba. Sahaba had value for akhirat, value for deen. We got value for dunya. We talk about the millions and billions, it creates pani in our mouth. When he spoke about amal of akhirat, Sahaba, there was pani coming in their mouth. So I said, Uqba bin Amir, he heard this hadith, so he said, ma ajwad hadha, ma ajwad, Allahu Akbar. He said, hey, how beautiful is these words that the Nabi of Allah mentioned. It's just 2 rakat salah. After a perfect wuzu and jannah, the person will get. So the person in front of Uqba bin Amir, he turned around, and he said, I found it was Umar radiallahu ta'ala, his partner. As Umar radiallahu ta'ala mentioned that what the Nabi of Allah mentioned before this, was even more striking and more unique than this also. You know, that was, you know, you got shocked on this, what he said before this was also. So he, then he asked Umar, what he said? Umar radiallahu anhu later on told him, that the Nabi of Allah mentioned that the one who performs the perfect wuzu, then
Allah Pak causes the 8 doors of Jannah to open for him. Allahu Akbar. So brother, this was the Sahaba of Rasulullah SAW. And they passed this knowledge of the wuzu of Rasulullah SAW to us. So we should understand that the perfection of Salah lies in the perfection of the wuzu. So now we need to make a firm resolve with ourselves that, okay, I'll try to get the wuzu of the Nabi. The Nabi SAW, there was a certain amount of water that he used. Certain amount of water. So we should try to learn about this. And at least if we need to use a little more, we can use, but don't waste. Don't waste. Then during the wuzu, don't talk of worldly things, you know. Something deen, some masla, somebody asks, it's different. But worldly things also destroy the reward. And after performing the wuzu, we should now come to the masjid to perform the first salah. Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, we all know, was the special sahabi of Rasulullah. He was the treasurer of Rasulullah. Bilal Habshi. Bilal radiallahu ta'ala came from Habsha. Right. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi on one occasion told the sahaba, there are four people who surpassed his people. There are four people, four personalities, that they surpassed their people. Nabi Sallallahu mentioned, from the Arabs, I surpass everyone. Of course, the Nabi of Allah surpassed the whole of mankind. But because he spoke of the Arabs, he says, Rasulullah was the one who brought Islam. And then Nabi Sallallahu also mentioned it from the people of Habsha, Bilal Habshi surpassed all his people. From the people of Rome, Hazrat Suhaib Rumi. And from the people of Faris, of Persia, Hazrat Salman Farsi, the Nabi said, on the day of Qiyamah, from all the people, they will enter Jannah first. So he talked to Bilal. The Nabi said, loved him so much. Allah Pak granted him the honor of becoming the Muazzin of Rasulullah in the Masjid Nabawi. What an honor, the Masjid Nabawi, the Muazzin. And the first Muazzin of Islam. First Muazzin of Islam, Allahu Akbar. The Nabi said, loved him a lot. The Nabi said, made him in charge of the treasury. Treasury, you know. He was like the Khadim, we always with Rasulullah. So Rasulullah saw a dream, and in the vision, in the dream, Nabi saw that he's in Jannat. And Nabi heard that Bilal radiallahu ta'ala's footsteps before him, and he saw Bilal radiallahu ta'ala before him in Jannat. He saw heard the footstep and he saw, Bilal is in Jannah with me. So this was the dream that Rasulullah saw. Rasulullah saw many dreams that Allah Pak showed him the beauty of Jannat and the bounties. So in this particular dream, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw he's walking in Jannah, and then he has footsteps, he saw, as if Bilal was walking in front. Ulama saying walking in front of the Nabi of Allah is like how the security walks in front of the king, you know, to give honor. So he walked. When Rasulullah woke up from the dream, Rasulullah the following morning at the time of Fajr Salah, when he met Bilal radiallahu anhu, he said, Oh Bilal, which is that action in Islam that you hope to receive great amount reward by Allah? You know, in another word, Rasulullah is telling him, what is the special deed you're doing in your life after Islam that you hope that Allah Pak will really reward you? For I have seen you walking before me in Jannah. So definitely you're doing something very special. Bilal radiallahu anhu said, O Nabi of Allah, whenever I perform wuzu, then I perform tahiyyatul wuzu, two rakats of salah after the wuzu. You know. Allahu Akbar. Rasulullah was so happy with this, so happy. That through this action, Allah Pak gave Bilal that honor, that the tahiyyatul wuzu became part of this ummat. The perfection of wuzu, the perfection of that salah. Perhaps Bilal radiallahu anhu heard this hadith of Rasulullah that after the wuzu, the person who performs the perfect and he performs two rakats, Allah Pak will grant him the jannat. He held onto this so closely, so firmly, that he always performed the two rakats, tahiyyatul wuzu, after the wuzu. Inshallah, we'll continue next week. Akhir da'wana, alhamdulillah.